Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And listeners, this is a special one here today. If you've been following me, for the last 2 years, I've been working on a very special project. It originally was a glamping project. It has evolved, and now we've created a beautiful landscape resort called Baia. And I couldn't do this one by myself. I've got a special partner that I want to introduce you today. We've been keeping this one secret for a long time. Folks, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Ben Wolf, my partner on Baia. Ben, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be back on and pleasure to be part of the team. Just so excited for the Baia project.
I'm telling you, it's been months now we've been keeping this under wrap. We've been like trying to figure out how to announce it. We've talked to PR directors. We've got a lot of things happening here. But I'm finally excited to like show the world, like here we are teaming up to create something ultra amazing here in South Florida. And so, Ben, I want to kick it to you. I want you, because you do a great job of explaining what this is, the vision of what we're creating. And I think then we can get into how we teamed up, you know, the experiences we're doing, all the kind of details of this project. But why don't you tell everybody, what are we creating together?
Look, I've been wanting to create this concept for going on 4 years right now. And it's essentially creating a tropical landscape resort. So think exotic fruit forest and or farm combined with tropical style bungalows, something that you might expect to see in a foreign country, Costa Rica, Bali, Tulum, but nothing that exists in the States today. So with Baia, we're creating this one-of-a-kind tropical landscape resort, bungalows tucked into the exotic fruit forest. Mm-hmm. We're going to maintain the exotic fruit farm. So there'll be this agritourism component, farm-to-table cafe and juicery, so that we have some wellness built in. We have plunge. We have lagoons. We have private grottos for at least some of the units. And all these things together are creating this experience that certainly doesn't exist in the States. The way that we're going to do it, I don't even know if it exists around the world. This combination of wellness, agritourism, experiential hospitality, and outdoor hospitality right here in South Florida, 45 minutes from Miami Airport.
I'm telling you, 45 minutes. This is not 45 minutes like on a map. Like we've driven it multiple times now, and you can leave downtown Miami and be in this beautiful area in 45 minutes. And I want to give a little history on this because I want people to understand the story. I want to get our story on tape here because I think I have a point of view. I want to hear your point of view. Yeah. I don't know if you ever sat down and actually talked about how this all came together from our points of view. But, you know, I was working on this really for 2 years. And it came as an idea because I knew in the vacation rental world, I think kind of like you knew, was like this, you know, everything's getting cookie cutter. Everything's really looking the same. The rates are starting to come down. It's harder to make like the same amount of money. And I started to realize, I was like, man, these people are buying a $3 million one-bedroom in downtown Miami thinking they're going to make thousands of dollars a night, and it just wasn't happening. And we're starting to see that a lot right now. I'm a little bit worried for people buying all of these places because the return is not going to be there as they're buying these short-term rentals. And I said, man, if we can take those couple of millions of dollars and really create something unique that's outdoor, because I really was starting to connect being outdoors. I like being out in nature, but there was nothing for me to go to. And when I wanted to go camping, my wife and kids didn't want to come with me. I was like, all right, what can we create here that's upscale? So it started with glamping, right? I was like, just looking at tents. I was just going on Amazon, like, look, oh, what tents do they have here? Oh, those blow up. These are these. Who's out there doing it? I started seeing your name pop up. I started seeing Onera. Like, who's doing this? Oh, Ben Wolf, who's this character out here making something awesome? And I wanted to learn more. And so because of this podcast, I was able to get Ben on and learn what he was doing. And so that kind of opened my mind to doing something bigger. And I didn't have you in mind like as a partner yet, but it's like, all right, he's doing something cool in Texas. What can we do here in South Florida? And then I realized how hard this is, right? To get a land lease in place, to get permits from the county that kept saying no every time we were submitting something. And I realized I couldn't do this by myself. And in talking to some friends, like, well, get some consultants, get some people that you can pay to do this. Don't give away chunks of the company. I was like, yeah, but I like working with awesome people. And when you reached out, I think you reached out like, hey, I want to do something in South Florida. You were doing like tours of areas in the same place. I was like, uh-oh, Ben's coming in. What's going to happen here? He's doing something at a much higher level. I'm going to be okay in my glamping section. But then it didn't work out for some reason. And we just kind of started talking and we started chatting and we found that we had a good vibe. And so that's kind of how we came together to create what you see up here on this screen, which is going to be a beautiful project for us. How did you see it? Because that's my point of view from it. How did you see it? What was going on?
Yeah, look, I mean, I really connected with Steve, you know, with you on the first podcast that we did. And sort of was tracking your progress. I mean, it's always interesting to see folks like talk about doing these kind of projects and then actually seeing them execute. Mm-hmm. So that was a really big turning point for me when you reached out and you were like, hey, I actually got the zoning verification letter. It's a go. And I remember at the IMN conference, I guess it was almost a year and a half ago. Last year in January, I announced like, we're coming to South Florida, basically. Who wants to link up and partner? Got some good inbound, talked to some folks, didn't end up being the right fit at the time. And I just decided like we had too many other projects going on. So unless I had a true partner, boots on the ground here, that was going to help see this thing to the finish line, understood the market, could help me with capital raising, development, hotel development is hard. Yes. It's another reason to have a team and a team that you like to collaborate with, because it's not if, but when it's going to be very hard and there's going to be dark days. And the question is, can you be solution oriented? Can you all work together to get to truth and to get to the best answer? And I've been on teams where, you know, there was one or two people that were not on board with that philosophy and there was too much ego involved. And then I've been on teams, and I think honestly, the best of them so far, where everybody is on the same page.
Yes.
And it's just, it makes things flow. And when there are dark days, they feel surmountable because you got a great group of people around you. So look, I think that the reasons that I wanted to partner with Steve are, first of all, he executed. He got the zoning verification letter. And, you know, you wanted to create this glamping concept. I think I wanted to level it up a little bit.
For sure.
And I've got this like love-hate relationship with the term glamping, because a lot of people bucket me and what I've done into glamping. I think when I think of glamping, I think of like AutoCamp and Under Canvas, and that's great, but that's a very mid-tier product.
Yes.
And I'm trying to create something that is truly one of one. It's a bit more upscale, not truly luxury, but there's elements of it that touch luxury.
Yeah.
So that's where we were talking. And my original concept was like much more amenitized, much bigger. And I ended up deciding like Steve has the land. He has the zoning verification letter. I went out and checked out the site. The site blew me away. I did not expect it to be as nice and far along. I had lower expectations than I should have. Yeah. And it was phenomenal. So after seeing that, I brought my GC and co-developer out there. I remember had them fly in. I had modular manufacturing expert fly in. He still gives me junk about that. I had him fly in from Canada like a week before, but he made it happen. And it felt like we all gelled. We were all super excited about the concept.
Yep.
And at that point, it was like, okay, can we work out a deal that makes sense for both sides? Mm-hmm. I think there was a point where you even felt like, oh, is Ben trying to like take over this project? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were able to work through that. So if we can work through that, then I think there's a lot we can work through.
Yeah, I think that's what you said. Like, I think, you know, for listeners, if you listen to this, what Ben mentioned, like you can have an ego and you could be the guy and want 100% and be the show, but then you really don't make special things happen. I think there's a couple of people who can do that, but that's just not my style. And there was a moment, right? Because I put in almost 2 years of time and I see Ben and his team come in. I'm like, hold on, what's going on here? Is my vision disappearing? But then I realized I'm listening to you. I was like, I like that idea. That's a really good idea. And that is better than I expected to think. You know, he's built these things that are very high end, and the vision you were putting together, I actually liked. And so when I sat down with myself, I was like, no, I agree with all these things. Why am I getting upset about this? In that moment, I called you.
Yeah.
Like, no, man, this is not what I'm trying to do. And so that was really helpful to me. And I think for anyone listening, you're going to have those things when you're working with people, especially in big teams, whether you're in a big hotel or you're building something together, you got to be able to have those talks and not have artificial harmony where it's just like, oh, I don't want to cause any waves or make an issue. And so for me, that was really special. That's why after that call, I was like, all right, I want to work with Ben. I want to work with Banks. I want to work with Ed. We got Victor on board who runs Tangy Management for us. So we've got a lot of awesome pieces going on. So I want you to talk about some of those pieces that we put together, because when you did that, I was like, man, that's a flex. This guy is flying people in from around the country. He's got the GC flying in. He's got Ed coming in from Canada for a night. And we were at, you know, a beautiful event that we were all together at, was it Michael Kors? I forget, Tori Burch's house.
We were all at Tori Burch's
backyard, like vibing. It's like the fireworks were going off. It was like a movie. Like we were all hanging out, fireworks.
I totally forgot about
with
that
the
party.
Moon over Miami, over Biscayne Bay. But you made everyone fly, and I was like, all right, he actually wants to make this happen. That's when I knew, like, you weren't just talk.
Yeah, look, I think that It was very important to me. I very much appreciate that you got ahead of any of these feelings of like, oh, are you trying to take this over? It was the farthest thing that I was trying to do. I would actually say I was trying to show to you I'm committed.
Yeah.
There's value that I can add. We can accelerate this thing if we do it together. And I think you know now that I've got a very strong sense of urgency, constantly pushing the go button. I've got people around me that help with the brakes, but I'm very much, you know, urgent minded. And I think that's what you have to be in development and to kind of get these things off the ground. They take so long as is.
Yes.
So if you don't have that agent, that urgency kind of pushing along the way, you can drag on for years and years and never get done. So I like that everybody on the team, I feel like, shares a sense of urgency.
Yes.
And is very, you know, accountable to their scope, things that they need to get done. You know, we're not waiting on people. Everybody's like pushing and grinding forward with the areas that they need to push forward. So, I just, since that initial visit, the Tory Burch or, you know, Chris Burch's house, I think it was, party and vibing there and having a great, you know, I think couple visits that trip to the site. And then coming back again and again, you know, going out to dinner a couple times, bringing the team back. It just feels like this team and this project flows in a way that I don't know that I've ever had on another project. So I'm very excited about that. And it just gives me a lot of energy.
Yeah, I think the key is that I feel like no one wants to let anybody down.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't want to let you down on something. I feel like you're like, all right, I'm on it. Let me get this going. And you're taking care of business on things you got to do. And I think for anyone looking to do a project, you got to feel that when you're working with people. Now, I want to talk about the hospitality part of this business, right? We're creating something. Yeah, we talked about building. It's going to take a lot of time. You know, maybe you give some high level numbers because you're great at, you put together a great pro forma, some high level numbers, but then I want to talk about the experience we're going to build and how we're going to do it.
Sure. Yeah. So high level numbers, I would say at this point that we can share, it's close to a $14 million build. We're going to raise a little over $4 million in equity. Thankfully, we have all of us that are contributing to raising that capital, and we have a good chunk of it soft circled. We just started reaching out to people about a week ago. So we're having some great traction there. We don't even have deal docs finalized yet, but they should be this week. And the goal and the plan is a pretty quick close by early to mid-June. And then we'll be all systems go. We're already doing some pre-development work now, but we'll really kick it into high gear at that point.
Yep.
And so the plan is to start building in November. So close on construction loan. We're already talking to lenders about that and getting some good signal there. And it should be about a 12-month build because we're going modular. So that's kind of high level timeline, cost of project. We're underwriting a $600 to $800 ADR, which for this product in this market, you know, is still pretty conservative. There's room there. 70% occupancy. I think the market occupancy is 73%. Again, room there. My Onera properties operate, you know, north of 80%.
Yep.
So we're really trying to leave room in the model and leave room in the projections to hopefully beat them. And we have new components that somewhat new to me, not new to Steve at all, like having some F&B, having some more, a bit more staff than Onera does, but still trying to stay very staff efficient and staff light. So Onera, for example, is 55% NOI margin roughly. And this project we're underwriting 45%, which those of you that know hotels, still very high.
Still very high.
In the short-term rental world, I would say, you know, normal, if not even a bit on the lower side for a short-term rental.
Yep.
So I do think we're in that sweet spot. You know, we really pressure tested the numbers. And we feel like we're pretty conservative overall with the numbers. I mean, I've showed the concept to people in Miami, like, hey, what would you pay for this, right? How much do you think this would cost? And everybody that I've talked to has said over $1,000.
Yes, every single person in our meetings are like $1,500, $2,000. Yeah. All right, we're good with our number.
Yeah, so it is hard in terms of developing a comp set and, you know, sort of validating those rate and occupancy assumptions, like when we're talking to the banks and certain investors. So we are pulling comps from some of the outdoor hospitality players in other parts of the Southeast, because the reality is that they just don't exist in Florida yet.
Yep.
But there's some in Tennessee, you know, there's some in Georgia that certainly back up these numbers. And you could argue that South Florida is a more prime market, more wealth, more people. And if you just look over to the Keys, granted beach, so it's a different vibe. You're looking at, you know, 4, 5, 6x the rates that we're looking at in underwriting. So for all those reasons, we feel really good about the numbers. With all of that said, being conservative, we're still in the mid to high 20s in terms of IRR. So we're well over 20%. And this is a this is a long-term hold. We want investors who want to come in on this deal. You know, we'll build it, we'll refi out of it. So capital will get returned and then some, and then you'll still get this nice yield on the initial capital you put in longer term until we decide to sell.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean we're not going to sell for 30 years, which is what we're underwriting, but it gives us the flexibility to sell when we get a great offer.
Yes.
Right? We're not boxed into, we have to sell in 5 years or we have to sell in 7 years. I've been there before, and the best time to sell is when you don't have to.
See, that's why I brought Ben on the team here, because he's had this experience already. He went through this, right? You've been through some challenging times, but you've also created some amazing places. And so that's what I saw. Like, he has that experience. So I get that question asked a lot. Like, why? And I said, man, we just vibe really well. You got great experience. You've been through this a bunch of times already. And so we're able to create something ultra unique. And so as I sit here with you, I'm very excited, because it seemed like not a real thing for a while for me. Just say, like, I kept submitting paperwork, and now, like, we're getting to the point where we have renderings. We have people that are interested in investing in this. We have our concept. We have the land, which is the hardest part to get down here. And now that we have it, I'm excited about building something ultra unique for the guests to be there. Because it's one thing to be out in nature, right? I think people think they want to be out there. And then once you get there, it's like, what do you do once you're here, right? Because I think a lot of people go out to go camping and go do, you know, connect. And I saw some of the one that Marriott bought. I forget what it was called, but it's just
postcard.
Like postcard.
Used to be getaway.
Yeah, getaway. You're just like in a box, no Wi-Fi, no phone, and you disconnect. But a lot of reviews were like, there was nothing for me to do out here. And so that's why I like our location, because you want to go for a night in the town, you can drive into South Beach.
Or go to the Keys.
Or go to the Keys.
What's Key Largo, 40 minutes away?
Not even. It's like 25-minute drive.
Wow.
And so you're there, and you can be in the scene and then come back to nature. And so for the people that are going to be staying with us, like you mentioned, the food and beverage. At the beginning, I was like, I don't want any food and beverage, because it was going to be a lower-end concept. But as we started leveling this up more and more and more, hey, if you're paying $800 a night, I better have my great cup of coffee.
I need
my
smoothie.
My smoothie. I've had acai bowl requests many times from Ben to be on the menu. So we're creating a great menu. We're working with some awesome chefs that I was actually with at the F1 race this weekend. They're excited to come and help us. So we're going to have some of the best people in the industry that are excited to work on this project. And as we continue to go, I want to talk about how we're actually putting our companies in it. So it's not just us creating this. Like, we're actually going to be running this project. So Tangy Management, which is the vacation rental company I co-founded with my partner, Victor Feria, will be operating this project. And then we've got Ben, who is a superstar doing marketing and revenue management, will be taking that on. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. And I'll talk a little bit about Tangy and how I see it. But why don't you talk about how you see marketing this and really kind of pricing it out?
Yeah, look, I mean, marketing in general, I think the most undervalued attention is still on social media, and particularly in the hotel world.
Yep.
This product is so Instagrammable, it's so shareable as is, that that's going to be a very core piece of the strategy. We may even have a full-time content team for a period of months before and after we open, yep, in order to super lean into that strategy, get a ton of content, have some build in public sort of founder journey team content, mm-hmm, as well as the like before and after build type stuff. So that's all in the works. And we're seeing on the Onera side how powerful social media marketing can be. I mean, we drive 80% of our bookings direct at very high rates, and we have very high margins, partially because we don't rely on OTAs. OTAs are taking, you know, what, 17 to 25% in a lot of cases, some even more. And so when we drive direct, we got to pay payment processing either way. So that's 3%, but everything else goes straight to the bottom line. Of course, some of that money is used for marketing, but you're building your following, you're building this, you know, email list, you're building this Instagram following, you're building this community that you can remarket to and that you sort of can keep in your funnel longer term.
Yep.
So if you keep creating great content, you keep putting relevant stuff out there, they become a fan and a follower. So whenever they want to do that getaway, or, you know, if they're ever coming to Florida and they want to experience something new, they're going to think of your property because you're top of mind.
That's so cool. So I have two questions on that, actually, as I'm sitting here thinking about it. When someone tells you, like, why, you know, how do you drive that much through social media? How come they're not booking through Airbnb and the vacation rental sites like we normally see, like a Tangy, right? Like, we still get a lot,
yep,
through that because we have traditional homes and three-bedroom and pool homes. Like, we get 60% that way. How are you driving so much the opposite way?
By creating highly engaging, relevant content, right? It's content that inspires people on, you know, social media, let's say, yep, Instagram. So we create viral videos effectively, or at least high engagement videos that pull people in. There's a storytelling component to it. We really try as hard as possible for our content to not feel like ads, because people hate ads.
Yes.
So you think about the big hotel brands, you look at any big hotel brand social media account, the whole thing feels like one giant TV ad. Commercial. Yes. It's brutal.
Yes.
Slow pan, mm-hmm. You know, you don't really even know what you're looking at sometimes. It's just kind of this like overly cinematic, dramatic TV commercial.
Yep.
So what we try to do, we have lifestyle models in our shots, but they're just weaving the story and helping you envision yourself at the property. We have shorter clips. They're faster clips, right? Yeah. So it keeps you engaged. We use on-screen text that might not be, you know, the perfect big hotel chain brand standard text,
yep.
but it's engaging. It's native to the platform. That's what the platform prefers. So that's what we use. So we're not as – and we have these conversations with bigger brands, because we now do social media for – you know, Hyatt Unbound Collection hotels, you know, 4-star resorts that are much bigger and more of the traditional hotel. And we get the pushback sometimes like, hey, this isn't perfectly in line with our brand standards. Well, we're like, but this video is going viral and your transient bookings are up 40% year over year. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, can you be a little bit more flexible and a little bit more willing to connect with the consumer where they are? And I think, you know, we're on the same page with that. So we'll lean into that hard.
I'm excited about it because, like you said, I work with so many hotels still, and I can't say which hotel, but there's a hotel opening and it is very like that. Everything's an ad. It's not very exciting. They're not getting the engagement they want. Their booking pace is not where they want it to be. I'm like, man, listen, you know, maybe you should start doing some things over here with Ben and his team, because they're driving bookings this way. And that's what I'm excited about, because that's why just doing this podcast with you listeners, this is, we want to have this part of the story on the books so that 5 years from now, 8 years from now, once we're open, we can look back. Say, man, this is how we really put this together.
I'm envisioning a reel right now. We can do clips from the podcast and then like show when it's actually being built and then finally open. I feel like that would be really cool.
I like it. I think you got it. I'm already envisioning us tomorrow walking the property, like pointing. I'm already getting photos with our Meta glasses and some HD video there. But I am excited because we started really putting this now on paper of what the experience will be like. And so for us, it was one thing like, all right, high level concept. But now how many employees do we need? We started to figure out like, all right, we're going to need a good chunk more than you had at some other properties if we want to level this up to where it needs to be. What's the experience going to be like from arrival? Where are you driving in? Where are you parking? Once you park your car, how do you feel disconnected? Once you're in the unit, what are you seeing? What are you smelling? What does everything feel like? And, you know, I think that part is what I'm most excited about building with you and the team, is what does each one of that part of the guest journey feel like? And how do we document that so people feel like, all right, we did put time and money into what these Egyptian cotton sheets feel like, and we did put in what this art piece is and which fruits are on the farm, because we're hand selecting some of the fruit that's going to be there that the farmer actually has, because it's an active farm. I don't know if we shared that. This is an active farm
and will remain
that way. Like, you will see farmers on the land making sure that the trees are good and the lychees are coming out and the mame is coming out and the bananas are going. So you get to be in this experience that I just think maybe there's only a handful that I can even think of around the world, let alone in the country. And now in this metropolitan city where a lot of these projects are like 2.5 hours, 3 hours from a major city that you have to go to. And we're here. So when you think about that, what are you thinking? How do you feel when you look at our renderings up here?
I'm super excited. I mean, remember, I've been envisioning something like this since 2021. Really? So my partner in Owasi, Jesse, he actually has a direct-to-consumer exotic fruit box business.
I remember you telling me that.
And he's
like,
got
what?
A farm in Fallbrook where he was growing exotic fruit as well. And that's where the fruit box business started. And then they turned into more of a direct-to-consumer business where they source fruit and box it and brand it and ship it.
Yep.
But he was a farmer for a while. And so I got turned on by the romanticism. And, you know, he was telling me his property in Fallbrook, he rented as an Airbnb, and people loved the farm experience, right? Yeah. They just couldn't get enough of it. So I thought there was something there. I thought there was something to this aesthetic, like, doesn't exist in a hospitality setting in the US. So can you combine that together with what I've done with kind of these more inspiring, very unique Instagrammable units, like what we've built at Onera? And it just felt like the perfect combination. So I can say, you know, I don't know if I've ever been more excited about a project as I am for Baia, and that's saying something. We've done some cool stuff. So it's happening.
Well, for Baia, I want to talk about some of the amenities now.
Yeah.
Right. Because we have some really unique things that are going on. So for food and beverage wise, we're building a communal area that will have a great cafe. So think, you know, salads, wraps, empanadas, coffees, smoothies, hopefully getting our wine and beer license so we can do that in there as well. But something that's going to be all day that you can come to. We're going to have an area where you can exercise and work out. We have a communal pool. But I want you to talk about something that very focused on wellness. You've actually had the great idea to put some of these things in. So talk about those parts that you imagined, because that first I was like, I don't know. Like, this seems like pretty wild. But then it looks great in photos, and now we know it can be done.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm a becoming kind of like a peak performance and wellness junkie to some extent myself. I do a lot with contrast therapy. You know, I do probably over an hour a week in the sauna at pretty high temperatures, and, you know, try to do 10 to 15 minutes a week cold plunge as well, in addition to diet and exercise and all the rest. So at minimum, I want to have a sauna and a cold plunge in addition to the pool, so other folks there can do contrast therapy. The hope would be that we can layer in a number of other experiences from third-party operators, like local spa operators. I know you know some wellness programming people as well. So the goal would be to have a multifunctional studio that could be used for as a conference room or as a yoga studio. And I think that having that flexibility, just because this doesn't exist yet, so we want to be very malleable with what demand is there. Like, are there enough people with a 20-unit site to do a yoga class? Like, we don't know, but it can be used for that. It can be used for, you know, other types of programming. It can be used for more of a corporate or group travel type segment as well.
Yeah, I was around a lot of people yesterday. I don't want to, like, date this podcast, but I was in an event, and a lot of them were hospitality people, and just sharing the images and showing them what was going on, all these people wanted to be a part of it. And it is, like, the head of a wellness company that does gigantic resorts was like, all right, you let us know what you want to do. These chefs that are from Michelin-rated chefs and ultra-luxury hotels were like, we'll help you develop a little menu that will be high-end, that you don't get the waste, but everyone's excited to be there. And they're like, all of a sudden, all their brainstorming started happening. You're going to have events and weddings and photography and this and that. And so everyone is looking at what we're creating as like a canvas for them to do special things. So I think that's going to be something we don't expect once we get open, is that a lot of people will want to be a part of it and bring their brands down there too, which I think is going to be special.
And that excitement from industry experts and people that, you know, have superpowers in their own domains, I think is just further validation for the concept, right? Whenever I bring a concept out there and people's eyes light up, I know that we're onto something.
That's where I'm excited, because people know the concept of short-term rentals and vacation rentals, and you see it all over Miami now, especially. Every building's short-term rental friendly, and it's just getting, you know, watered down. So this will be something that I think will last a long time, and we're going to be the first to do it. So why don't you tell us about the timeline? Like, you know, we have a couple of things that we have to finish now, but when do you think we will start doing construction, getting open? When do you start thinking that's going to happen?
We will start construction.
Yes, we will.
We will start construction in November of 2025. So this year, November, we got about, what, seven months or something. So we'll be blown and going, but we're already a good chunk of the way there. Steve's done a lot of work. You know, he's got his zoning verification letter. We have our consultants, kind of soft circled architect, you know, land planner, folks like that. So we're well on the path. We have our modular manufacturer or modular distributor, I should say, selected, couple of manufacturers, one leading contender that we're pretty far down the path with. So we're definitely getting there. So we'll start building in November. It's a 12-month build. So faster being 20 units as opposed to a bigger number, and also being modular. This allows us to get it done quicker. So for those reasons, you know, we should be open December 2026.
Awesome. I'm excited. And I want people to know that this is the beginning, right? This is not a one-off project that we just want to only do one. Like, yes, the focus is to get this open, get it dialed in, but we want to do this in multiple locations. That's why we teamed up, right? Is to really take this something across the country, work with different farmers, get different experiences for people, and really create something uniquely local for everyone to experience. And so I want people to know that, so that when we share this podcast again 5 years from now, that we'll be understanding that. I want to hear from you as we kind of wrap this up. What are you most excited about this property? Where do you envision yourself? Like, when you come visit with your family, what are you looking forward to the most?
I mean, first of all, I'm looking forward to having units that fit my family nicely. We have very few of them at Onera. We have, you know, two-bedroom units across like 60 keys. So it's pretty minimal. Here, half the units are going to be two-bedroom. So I can bring my four-year-old and my seven-month-old and me and my wife, and we all fit in the unit fine. So that's exciting. I'm excited to experience some of this like agritourism that we're talking about. Some of these farm experiences, some of the like pick my fruit that goes into the smoothie. Like that sounds pretty exciting to me. Being able to do the my sauna plunge experience as opposed to in like a Lifetime gym, you know, that is nice, whatever, but it's a big box, right? And being able to do that in this setting, I think, is a totally different game-changing experience. What else? I would say getting to know the area more. I mean, it's really cool, like all the nurseries and all the agritourism that is like in that Redland Homestead region. And there's a lot to do around it. They have like a monkey jungle and things that I've only done that I know my kids would love. I actually have a funny monkey jungle story. I digress though. My wife, we were in Dominican Republic and one of the monkeys pissed on
her. Marked her for the territory.
Marked her. So hopefully that won't happen again. Hopefully she's not marked for life. But so we'll do monkey jungle and just experience what the area has to offer. And I hope to do, you know, events there. I did an event at Onera Wimberley when we were opening called the Unique Stays Summit, where we were bringing together all these experiential travel operators and people that had done this successfully. And it was an amazing experience. We had, you know, Isaac French and Travis Chambers and Irene Wood and like all these people that have kind of done this in their own little silos, coming together and sharing information. I'd love to do another kind of summit at BIA once it's open.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We need to do that.
Yeah.
I think for me, and I want to make sure we clip this team, is that, you know, whenever somebody plans a vacation, they're always thinking themselves poolside. And so when we thought about doing a communal pool, that's really stuck in my head, where we're going to pick some fruit. I want to make my smoothie, take it in my hand, sit there in the pool with the kids. You got your family on the other side, and we're having a good time and something that we just imagined and built into the real world. I think that's going to be really the most exciting piece for me when we do this.
I can tell you that experience of just like a raw piece of land. I mean, in this case, a farm, and then seeing it come to life. Once it goes vertical, the finishes are going in. There's nothing like it. So I'm excited for you to experience that.
I'm very excited. So listeners, thanks for joining us on this special edition of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. Make sure to follow us on LinkedIn. We're going to be sharing a lot there. So you got Ben Wolf on LinkedIn. You got Steve Turk on LinkedIn. Make sure to subscribe to both, because you will get in all the information there. And we'll be sharing the websites and all the other things we have coming up very soon. And if you found any value in this episode, or you're excited to stay here with us at BIA, make sure to share this with one of your friends. I'm sure they'll enjoy it as much as you did. See you next time.